looking at this issue of counterfeit drugs, firstly, what type of drugs are we actually seeing replicated?
Well, actually, almost everything. There's been reports of 1,500 products reported so far in this recent database, but mostly it's with anti-malarials, also antibiotics, but almost anything you can think of. Some cases, vaccines, antipsychotics, anti-HIV drugs, heart drugs, anti-cancer drugs, including in America.
Extraordinary. But yeah. Why exactly do we see them replicated, or so many of them being replicated? Is there simply not enough of these drugs, the real kind of these drugs, to meet demand?
No, I think there's enough of that. It's just that in many countries they're expensive, and I think it's important to say why it's not really a problem in Australia, because our drugs are so subsidised that there really isn't too much profit to be made by criminals. But in many parts of the world, of course, some of these drugs are extraordinarily expensive, and if you're poor, even a comparatively cheap drug is expensive. So there's a big sort of market there for organised crime and all down the line for people to profit from this.
You mentioned the United States there, and I know that they have a real sort of issue if you are poor in the US getting proper medical treatment, getting the kind of drugs that you need. But what other countries are we seeing this as such a primary issue?
Well, I think it's long been recognised as a problem in Southeast Asia, and it's long been speculated this will become a problem in sub-Saharan Africa, and apparently that is increasing. But I mean, the malaria resistance around Southeast Asia is long. Up to a third of the malaria drugs in Southeast Asia around Cambodia are thought to be fake, and this is also increasing a problem in Africa. And one recent study said that perhaps 6 to 9% of deaths in malaria in Africa were caused by fake anti-malarial drugs.
Mm.
And you know, these drugs, they also reduce the confidence of the patients in the health system, because you think, well, what's the point of, you know, you waste your money, you risk death in some cases because some of these drugs are contaminated. In other cases, the drugs are just, there's just nothing in them. And I've just, preparing for this interview, had a look at some of some articles about this. And you look at the packages of the fake and the real drugs, and I can't tell the difference. So how could a patient tell the difference? They can't.
Obviously, serious health concerns there, whether people are getting sugar pills or whether they are getting pills that have sort of been mixed in with something that can be harmful just on itself. But it is quite interesting, the point you bring up there, the long-term consequences of essentially undermining confidence in these medications working at all.
Yeah, no, that's right. It gives everything a sort of a bad reputation.
Mm.
There's also been fake vaccines, I don't know if I mentioned that.
Obviously, yeah. Like I say, a pretty serious concern. What is actually being done to fight back against it, to regulate against it?
Well, I guess people are waking up to it a bit more. There is this new database. More studies are being done, but I think the real problem is to do with, you know, corruption and poverty and poor law enforcement. I mean, if you're a victim of a fake drug in Africa, say, and you're living in a village, and let's say you survive, what can you do? Do you think you can go to the court and complain? And then even if you do, in the one case out of 100, say, when it gets to court, there's still a chance that the judges are going to be bought off. And there needs also to be more honesty and regulation in how these drugs are produced. I mean, many of them seem to come from Asia, even though they're sold in Africa. And perhaps, you know, most drug companies making drugs are honest in, let's say, China and India, but some aren't. And so you need more regulation and law enforcement there as well.
It's fairly rare that you would say the drug companies, the real legitimate drug companies who are selling, as you mentioned there, sometimes very, very expensive medications, very rare that they're actually ever seen as the heroes of any particular situation. But I would imagine in these kind of situations, combating against fake drugs, if nothing else, it is cutting into their profit margins, and indeed cutting into the kind of faith that people would have in the products they themselves are producing.
That's right, and cutting into their reputation.
So are the drug companies themselves doing anything to fight back?
I don't actually know the answer to that, but I would hope that they are. I'm I'm sure that some level that they would be. But maybe we need a sort of name and shame thing, you know, a list of cheating companies. I don't know. But the thing is, also with the internet, you can get things over the internet, and things are so complicated. And again, if you're poor, you can't really go to the internet. You might not be able to read. So how are you going to find out? But I think your point there that it would be really good for the wealthy drug companies to take more of a role in this. They're probably doing something, but I'm sure they could do more. And that actually would also be good for their reputation. And we know for many drug companies that are highly profitable, they spend as much or even more on promoting their drugs as they do on developing them. So if you could think, well, 5 or 10% go into sort of better enforcement, that would be good.
And just as a final point, Colin, I know this is something perhaps a little bit outside the field of the fake drugs themselves, but when we talk about those kind of pharmaceutical companies and people in these poorer developing nations struggling to get by, struggling to get medication, maybe turning to these alternatives that do not work because they simply can't afford the real deal, do there need to be more regulations around, these kind of medications coming out there with less of an expensive price tag on them?
Well, in some cases, you know, drugs go off patent and cheaper ones are available. And there was one proposal, say, for dealing with malaria to subsidise the cost of the genuine anti-malarial drugs to make them inexpensive. But I thought, I looked at that and I thought, oh, that just can't work. And all those, how are you going to get each country in Africa to sort of subsidise that? But the basic problem is, I guess, that the high profit that can be made by criminals. So if there's some way to reduce them, that would help. But also, there's apparently a lot of organised crime are doing it also because the penalty, if they get caught, which is unlikely, the penalties are also very weak. Governments are a lot stricter on trading in heroin or amphetamines or something, but not fake drugs. And so that's something that could be done perhaps internationally.
Well, Colin, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time joining us this morning on this one.
Oh, well, I appreciate you making an issue of this and bringing it to people's attention.
Absolutely. You have a very good day.
You too.